Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Lift up your hands and let us pray, my friends. Father, we thank you this morning. We are grateful to you for this gathering. We are blessed in your house. We thank you for this company of believers. We are also aware that there is a very heavy contingent of angels present here with us. I pray in the name of Jesus, knowing that there is that which you have purposed to do in our lives. So what you've set out to do, do it, O God. Speak to us. Guide and direct us through your word. May we be mightily blessed this morning. In Jesus' name have we prayed with thanksgiving. And let everybody say, amen. Can you put your hands together for Jesus again? Hallelujah. And you may be seated. Amen. It's good to see all of you. Hey, Solomon. Betty, good to see you. And is that Bettina? Hallelujah. Amen. It's good to see all of you this morning. And this morning's service is in two segments. The first part is our normal service. And the second part is, if you like, a Thanksgiving service. To celebrate the life of one of our pastors who turned 50 just in the course of the week. So we will get into that at the right time. And I want to welcome you all to church, especially those of you who are here with us for the very first time. God bless you for coming. I think we have our church from Mampong Kwanta here as well.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you all. Last week, Sunday, I taught one of the Bible classes that we hold before service begins. And this class was the Christian maturity class. Now, in the course of my teaching, I said certain things. And afterwards, the Spirit of God prompted me that what I said is something that every member of the church must hear. And so it was not just meant for those who sat in the class, but for the entire church. And so this morning, I'm going to share with you a message I have titled, The Main Responsibility of Ministers of the Gospel. The Main Responsibility of Ministers of the Gospel. Now, what do I mean by ministers of the gospel? I am referring to the Christian leaders who lead the drive to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And And they are also the ones who lead the advancement of the kingdom of God. So these are the ministers of the gospel I am referring to. And I believe that God wants us to understand what their main responsibility is. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, there are many things that ministers of the gospel do. Such as what? What are some of the things they do? You tell me. They preach. What else do they do? They evangelize. Next. They visit. Next. They do counseling. Next, they do deliverance. They pray for people. Next, they give akwanchere. You said something. They what?
Breaking of the bread.
They make it possible for us to break bread. Adrianina, Adrianina, Adrianina. They officiate weddings, naming ceremonies. Sometimes they kill people and bury them. They don't kill them. They just bury the people. They help to usher people to heaven.
All
right. What did he say? They. No. That one, I can't say it. That one, I can't say it. Right. Now, all these things you mentioned are activities that ministers of the gospel get involved in. And there is truth in all the things you mentioned. But this morning, God wants to draw our attention to what I am describing as the main responsibility of ministers of the gospel. And to help us identify that clearly, we want to go into the book of Ephesians. This is one of the places where the main responsibility of ministers of the gospel is clearly spelled out without ambiguity. And so will you please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, and we're reading from verse 1. And I want you to follow me closely. Ephesians chapter 4, reading from verse 1. We will stop whenever we get to, wherever we want to get to. Alright, it says, therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord. Now, this is the Apostle Paul. And at the time he was writing this letter to the church in Ephesus, he was in prison. He continues, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Tell the person sitting by you, you have been called by God. Then tell another person, I have been called by God. Then ask a third person, do you know that you've been called by God? What did they say? Did they say yes or they said They said yes. All right. So tell the person, treat me with respect. Because I've been called. The next thing it says is always be humble and gentle. You must understand that God resists the proud. But he gives grace to the humble. And whenever we humble ourselves before the Lord, he lifts us up and sets us up on high. May God lift you up in this life. May God set you on high. May God bring you to a place that you never imagined for yourself. A good place it will be. A blessed place it will be. A place of honor it will be. If you believe it, can I hear you shout aloud? Amen. Then he says, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Tell the person sitting by you that I know you like
me.
But please be patient with me. Why? I know that I'm not perfect. I know that I have issues. You are the perfect one. But as for me, I have issues. So I am begging you. Take your time for me. Why? And be patient with me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the spirit. Binding yourselves together with peace. So God wants us to be united. God wants us to be together. God wants Christians, believers, to be together. The things we have in common are more than the things that divide us. So let's place emphasis on the things that we have in common rather than the things that divide us. And let's have peace amongst ourselves. Hallelujah.
Amen.
For there is one body and one spirit.
Now,
this body is talking about is the body of Christ. And there's only one body of Christ, really. Unfortunately, because of denominationalism, there's an impression that there are different bodies of Christ. But it is an error to think so. There is only one body of Christ. But that body has different members. And each member is needed for the whole body to function well. So let's dwell on that rather than on our denominations. Are you understanding what the Spirit of God is saying to you this morning? So one spirit is referring to the Holy Spirit. Just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. And what hope is that? It is the hope that we will make it to heaven. That we will see the end of our salvation. Tell your neighbor that the Zion train is passing your way. So make sure you are on that train. Then tell the person, respect, man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is one Lord. One faith. One baptism. One God. And Father of all. Who is over all. And in all, and living through all. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Next verse. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of
Christ.
Every one of us has a special gift. Specially given to you. There is nobody under the sound of my voice who doesn't have a gift. And a special gift for that matter. And if you don't know what your gift is, you can know. Because you do have one.
If it is said, who will be?
Pray and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal your special gift to you. But one of the things that will help you to identify what your special gift is to look at what you are able to do effortlessly. Something that you do with ease. Without struggle. It comes naturally to you. Sometimes that is an indication of what your gift is. So for example, there are people who, when they hear a song right now, within 2 minutes, they've learnt the song and can sing it well. Now, I have a music gift. But this particular thing that I said, I don't have it. It takes a long time for me to learn a song and to know the lyrics well. But there are some people, they just have to hear the song. And they've learnt it. And they can remember it. So you can even see that in the giftings, there are different levels. So pray that you will discover your gifts. Maybe your gift is that you are able to organize things well. You are an organizer. You are a manager. That one too is a gift. Because not everybody has it. And there are some of us here, this gift, we don't have it at all. Because you have a gift, but yours is you scatter. And if we are living with you, it's not easy for us. Your everything is everywhere. And the common thing we hear from you is, I can't find my shirt. I can't find my sock. I can't find my watch. Have you seen my handkerchief? It's a sign that you are not gifted in that area, organizing things. So the point that I'm making to you, my friend, is that God has gifted you with something. And you had better use that gift well. And by the way, your gift comes with responsibility. And it also comes with faithfulness. And you must be dependable. What is the use of having a gifted person who is not faithful? What is the point in having a gifted person who, when you need, is not available? So the gift is there.
But
the gift doesn't work on its own.
You must
buttress it with faithfulness and commitment and dependability.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But
that's not what we are talking about
today.
We continue. Next verse.
That
is why the scripture
says,
when he ascended to the heights, referring to Jesus Christ, of course, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly
world.
And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens. So that he might fill the entire universe with himself. What does all of this mean? It is explaining one of the basic beliefs of the Christian faith. That when Christ died, he descended into hell, which the Bible here is calling the lower world. So there's an upper world. There is the heavenlies. There is the place where Christ and the Father and all these angelic beings reside. That is the place that Paul calls the third heavens. So if there is a third heaven, it presupposes that there is a first and there is a second. Then of course we have this earth. And then beyond this earth, there is another world which is lower. Which is, if you like, a compartment of hell. And the devil has control over that world also. Based on what the word of God teaches us, when Christ died, he descended to that place. And who do we have there? You must understand this. That before Christ came to die to pay the price for our sins, and before he resurrected, having gained victory over the powers of darkness, with all power in his under his control, before that happened, all those who died as saints, from
Abel
to all the people before Christ,
when they
died, their spirits or their souls went to a place called paradise. How do I know? Do you remember what Jesus said to the thief on the cross who told him, remember me when you come into your kingdom? This is what Jesus said to him. Today you will be with me in paradise. So the saints who died believing in the Lord before Christ, they all their spirits of their souls ended up in that place called paradise. And that place is a place under the control of Satan. And when Christ died and he went to that place, he went to free all those people and took them with him to heaven. In fact, if you read Matthew 27, 52 and 53, it tells us of something that happened after Christ died on the cross. That there was an earthquake. And tombs were opened. And it says the bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. I don't think that you've noticed this before in your Bible. Because it just mentions it casually and then we move on. And then the next verse, 53. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection. Went into the holy city of Jerusalem. And appeared to many people. So there were people who received their glorified bodies, who were raised from the dead when Christ resurrected. According to what the Bible is telling us. So when the Bible says he led captivity captive, it is describing all these people, the spirits, the souls of those who were in paradise. And then those who were given their glorified bodies, he took all of them to
heaven.
So this is one of the deep things you find in the Christian faith. So you've heard one of the deep things today. And there are many deeper things. But I want us to continue. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4, and I think verse 10 is where you were. Verse 11. Go to verse 8. Alright, so that is why the scripture says when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people.
The Bible said,
let's move to verse number 11 now. And I want you to follow me closely. Because we are getting into the thrust or the crust of today's sermon. It says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. These are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. Which means that you should see, and these people that he mentioned are the ministers of the gospel that I referred to from the very beginning. And from this verse, God is trying to get you to understand that any man or woman of God that God has given to you is a gift. So Pastor Isaac is a gift. He's a gift. He is a gift.
Oye, achedie.
And he must be seen as such.
Na, ese se ye hunu na sa enso.
And must be valued and honored.
Na, ese ye bunu ne ye di, ye di eni di enso manu sa.
Appropriately. Because he is a gift. And you must see these ministers of the gospel as gifts from God to you. Next verse. Now we come to their responsibility. So we've talked about the gifts. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. So this is a summary of the ministry offices that exist. So really, all ministers of the gospel can be fitted somewhere in
there.
So what am I? Who am I? What am I? I'm who?
Me your wife.
I'm a gift. Oh, what type of gift am I? What do you think? I am all. I am not all. I cannot be all. I think that primarily I am a pastor and a teacher. That's who I am. I may operate in the apostolic ministry, but I am not an apostle. I may operate in the prophetic, a small dimension of it. But I am not a prophet. This man sitting here, Pastor James, is the one who has the prophetic ministry. And he's trying to run away from it. And I've told him that I won't let him run. I would do everything that I can for him to make full proof of that ministry. And the reason why he's running from it is because of all the excesses that occur with the prophetic ministry. Because a lot of so-called prophets have spoiled the prophetic ministry. It has become a tool for manipulating and intimidating people and exploiting them. But thank God that wherever there is the fake, there is also the genuine. And I've told him, I had a serious talk with him that he has to take that ministry seriously. And by the grace of God, I will create the platform for him to use what God has given to him. He cannot run away from it. Not under my watch. So watch this space. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said hallelujah. And where is Pastor Philip? He was here. He has disappeared. He went to the ladies. Sorry, to the gents. Now, not here. I believe has an evangelistic calling upon his life. But he's using it to make roofs. And it's my duty to push and drive him to make full proof of that ministry. So you see, all these different gifts have been placed in the body of Christ, the church. But all of them have a responsibility. Which is what? That is what we see in verse 12. It says their responsibility, these ministers of the gospel, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Don't move to the next verse. Stay there. Don't be in a hurry. Their responsibility. Apostles.
Asomafo.
Prophets.
Edifo.
Evangelists.
Asomafo.
Pastors.
Ahwefo.
Teachers.
Akyerekyerefo.
They have a responsibility.
Womuwa asodie kesee.
And that responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work. Who are God's people?
We. Who are God's people?
We are. You are God's people. So anytime you see the Bible making reference to God's people, know that you are included in there. So this verse is talking to you. And the responsibility of ministers of the gospel, their main responsibility is to equip you to do his work. Whose work? God's work. What does God's work entail? Mention the different things that constitute God's work. Number one.
And you may be in a Yamiasem mu a
discipling people, yes.
Selbeye ochidi for
reaching out to people, outreach, evangelism,
and mountain and kofua kokche in Sempakano.
Winning souls,
se ubechin akra.
Establishing the souls,
se ubetumi abo akra na tenasie.
Following up on them,
se ubetumi akwa munche abri biara.
Visiting them,
ubeko munsrashe.
Praying for them. Discipling them. That is God's work. God's work also includes what you do to let the church work. What you do in church to let the church work well and run smoothly. That is God's work. And this scripture is revealing something very profound. And it is showing us who is supposed to do God's work and build the church. Who is supposed to do that? Who? God's people. And who are God's people again?
We.
So you. And me. But especially you are the ones that God is expecting to do the work. God's work. The work to build the church. The work to establish the church. The work to make the church multiply and flourish and advance. That work of building the church. That work is supposed to be done by you, the people of God, not necessarily the ministers of the gospel. The ministers of the gospel, their main responsibility is to equip you. And of course, ministers of the gospel are also the people of God. So we are also supposed to do the work. But in this context, the main responsibility of the ministers of the gospel is to equip you. So that you can do the work. It's like if you employ somebody to work on your farm. You have to equip the person to be able to do the work. And you have to get the person farming implements. Like what? Don't say hammer. We don't use hammer on the farm. What are the things? Cutlass. Hoe. You have shown very clearly which part of the world you live in. Cutlass. Look. In the developed where they use, it depends on the type of farm and the size of it. Okay, I would accept that argument. So you mentioned cutlass. Sick. Hoe.
Assault.
What else? Rake. Yeah. So for the person to work effectively,
so
you need to give the person those tools. Once you have provided those working tools, it is expected that that person you have employed must get the work done. If the work is not being done, there are two possibilities. Number one, the person has not been equipped with what he needs to do the work. Or the person has been equipped, but he is not doing the work. And in this church, you cannot say that you have not been equipped. And I think that in many churches, the members of the church have actually been equipped to do the work. If the work is not being done, therefore, it is not an issue of they've not been equipped. It is an issue of they are not doing what they've been equipped
to.
And that is why the work of the ministry and the church does not progress the way God is expecting it to
progress.
And I'm talking about doing the work in a proper way. Not using ways and means to get the work done. Because what is happening in the body of Christ today is people are crazy about numbers. So all kinds of things are being done to get people to come to the church. And it is not because it is their salvation that is paramount. Church pastors are looking to have very huge congregations. And so you may have a lot of people in the church, but they are not saved. There's no genuine conversion. And this is the problem with charismatic churches in particular. Yeah, that's the main problem with charismatic churches. It has become a numbers game. Who has more members? Who has the biggest church building? And you should see the way we display our church buildings on the social media. The church buildings are important. But the body of Christ is not the church building. The body of Christ, the believers. That is what the church is. So I'm not referring to this funny ways and means effort to let the church have plenty of people. That's not what I'm talking
about.
I'm talking about the real work to win souls to the glory of God. Not to the glory of any man of God. Because we, the so-called men of God, we like that too much. We want to be hailed. We want to be greatly honored. And in so doing, the glory that is supposed to come to Christ is being given to men. And it's one of the sad things that is happening. But the point that I'm trying to get you to understand today is that it is your work And it is your duty to do everything that you can to help to build the church. The body of my duty as your pastor. And the duty of the pastor of whichever church you go to is to equip you to do the
work.
And now comes the tragedy. Many people sit in our churches Sunday after Sunday. But the work is not being done. And the pastor is the one who is being... The one who is supposed to equip you is now the one who is carrying the burden of doing the work that you have been equipped to do. So the work is not being done. So if the church is not growing, as long as you have been equipped to do the work of God, if the church is not growing, now who calls them? I ask you a question now. I say, now who calls him?
Why not?
Yeah. Now you calls him. That's a fact. I say, none of you can say that you have not been equipped. What haven't we taught you here? What appeal haven't we made to you? What haven't we said to persuade you to focus on the things of God, to focus on the kingdom of God and his righteousness? That is the equipping. And we equip you by feeding you with the word of God. And that's where God says in Jeremiah 3:15, I will give you pastors according to my own hand who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. That is what we equip you with, and that we do Sunday after Sunday. And we cannot say that we've not been equipped. But the problem with many Christians is we are holding back. Holding back. Just thinking about ourselves. Very self-centered. Just thinking about our family, thinking about our job, thinking about our work. But what we've been equipped to do is not paramount on our minds. And we break the Father's heart. We break his heart all the time. Because he looks at... You know, we say that, you know, Ghana has a Christian population of more than 70%.
Yeah, ni ekase Ghana yendodo ebro
ediosong as a Christophone.
Yeah, Christophone.
That's what we say. But what effect has it had on the country?
Na enso esunsunsan so ben enya ewo man ne so.
From those who lead us to the least person.
If we want to do yen kind ABC, their uchato.
How has it impacted positively on our nation?
So na etumi asasayen.
It's rotting totally.
Bibia asay.
We say that our leaders are corrupt.
Aya ni ekanse yen akendi fo no enye.
But even the ordinary citizens.
So,
corruption is the hallmark. What we do to each other. It's not just, and yes, it's true that a lot of things rise and fall on leadership. And if we had a certain kind of leadership, things will be better. It is also true. But the point that I'm really making here is this. That God has so much expectation for you and I. He's expecting us to do his work and help to build the church. And we keep breaking his heart because we don't care.
If they say fire,
we don't care about what he cares about. We don't feel the way he feels. The compassion that we are supposed to have for the lost out there, we don't have it. So equipped we have been, but the work is not being done. Then the other bit of it, which I can't go into now, talks about, maybe next week I'll talk about that. But this is just one aspect of the responsibility of the ministers of the gospel. I will end it here. But I know that this is not a message that brings excitement. As for the exciting messages, they are there. And there are times when we preach them. And it's our responsibility to minister things that will bring hope and comfort to you. And there's nothing wrong with that. But there's also a place for deep thinking messages. Like this one. Where as you sit in the church, you are feeling uncomfortable. Because the Holy Spirit is convicting you. And you can see yourself clearly that I have been equipped to do the work, but I'm not doing shilling. But you see, these messages come to charge us up and to motivate us to rise up and do what we are supposed to
do.
And the Spirit of God is calling on all of us to arise and get involved and let's do the work of the ministry, because there's so much work to be done and so many souls to be won. And the night cometh when no man can work. Because sometimes the night comes and then you can't do anything anymore. On Thursday, Friday, we're supposed to have a crusade somewhere. We were not allowed to have the crusade. The police were called on us. Now this is a place that we've been to many times before. There's never been a problem. But on this particular time, even though we had done the due diligence and had permission to hold this mini crusade there, some people just arose and said, never. And before you realize, police will come, did they come with their sirens?
Buddy?
They came with their car, but they were not blowing the sign. About how many of them? Were they holding guns? 5, 6.
Hey.
Crusade, police, what is the correlation? What's the connection? So the crusade didn't come on. And I don't know what it means. But what it tells me is that there's a season and there's a time when these things, we cannot do them anymore. So now is the time to do our best and to get involved in the work of the ministry. And by the grace of God, we will all get involved. I said, by the grace of God, we will all get involved. Hallelujah. Amen. We must all be involved. I think we have a song like that in Ghana. We are all involved. We are all involved. We are all involved in building our motherland. outside of Motherland, put the Church of Christ there. Go. We are all involved. We are all. We are all. We are all. We are all involved in building the Church of Christ. One more time.
We are all.
We are all involved. We must all. Together for Jesus, rise to your feet. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Just lift up your voice and pray right now and speak to God and just talk to Him about what you've heard today. And I want us to say to Him that, Father, we are sorry. You are right, Father. We have been equipped, but we are not doing what you've been equipped to. Forgive us for our self-centeredness. Forgive us for our selfishness. Forgive us for holding back. We don't want to inconvenience ourselves in any way. And so only a few people are saddled with the responsibility of building the body of Christ. But today we are turning back to you. And we are getting back to what we are supposed to do. Just speak to the Lord. Lift up your hands to the Lord and talk to Him right now. Talk to the Lord. Talk to Him right now. Talk to Him right now. Talk to Him right now. Talk to Him. Don't think about anybody. Just think about yourself. Think about yourself. And ask yourself some searching questions. What at all am I doing to help build the kingdom of God? What am I doing? Am I helping? Am I contributing? Am I doing my best? Am I supporting? Am I investing in the kingdom of God? Am I assisting in the different things that are done? What exactly am I doing? Speak to the Lord and say, Father, please forgive me. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me.
Father, have mercy upon us, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus
Christ,
as we have hearkened unto your word this day, O Lord, have mercy upon us,
Lord.
We will not draw back from today onwards. We shall equip ourselves and activate ourselves, O Lord, for the building of your church, for the building
of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. Father, we thank you today. We give you glory and honor. Thank you, Father, for what your Spirit has drawn our attention to this day. We admit before you that we've been a disappointment to you. Forgive us, Lord. You are right to charge us and to be unhappy with us. But thank you, Father, that you are the God of the second chance. When Jonah ran away from his calling, you called him again. He heard your voice a second time. Thank you for making it possible for us to hear your voice today. Father, we see things in us that we do not like. Our selfishness, our obsession with our own lives and trying to make it and earn enough money and have a certain kind of life. But Father, teach us to understand that when we seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, everything else that we need to enjoy total well-being, you will give to us. So I pray today, let your Holy Spirit go to work on our hearts.
Amen.
Touch our hearts today. Everybody place your hand on your heart. Father, touch this heart. Soften it. It's too hard, too rigid, too fixated on self. Today, melt our hearts in the name of Jesus. Bring break us, melt us, mold us, fill us, use this heart. Let there be a real change. May we rise up as we've been equipped to do the work of the ministry and help to build the body of Christ. And Father, it is not so that any man will get the glory. It's so that the glory will come to you and you only. Let our minds change. Let our focus be reoriented. And let it be all about Christ. And I thank you, Father, what you've done here today. In the name of Jesus. And as every head is bowed and every eye closed, you're here and you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, and you want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to pray with you today. And for you to be saved, you must confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead. Then you will be saved. And the good news is that right here and right now, he's waiting for you, my friend. I don't want you to think about anybody. I want you to think about yourself standing before God as an individual. And yes, you may be watching me online, but God can see you right where you are and he's waiting for you to turn to him. I want to pray with you. And if you want to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, lift up your right hand wherever you are, and I'm going to pray for you.
Oh,
thank you, Jesus. Lift it up very clearly so I can see. And right there in your room, you can lift up your hand. I cannot see, but God can see you. And I want, thank you, Jesus. And I want us to pray this prayer together. Say, dear Lord Jesus, today I come to you just as I am. Oh God, I need you. Please come into my heart. Change me. Make me brand new. Forgive all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. From today, I declare that I believe in Jesus. I confess him as Lord. I believe in my heart that he is the Son of God who came to die for me, but he rose up on the third day. From today, he is my Lord, my Master, my Savior, and everything else. Thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' mighty name. Let everybody say, Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus, my friends. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.